All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as people have pointed out, and as you and I have talked about backstage and in meetings and stuff, we're running out of ways to randomize things.
Oh, yeah. But I've been hearing that. I've been seeing it on the in the trades.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, I don't know if you knew this about me, but I'm a bit of an inventor. And I invented this device here that is going to create abject suffering randomizations for us.
Okay. It's a randomizer?
It is a randomizer.
Okay.
It's going to give us a randomization, and then we're going to guess what the game is based on that.
Okie doke. Well, I appreciate your ingenuity. Does all the science check out? Like, is the testing good, ethical, any of that?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, the cardboard box here and this tube, this leads to a toaster that goes to an antenna. Seems like it all checks out. I mean, I've run the physics. I've double checked the social studies on it. It's good. It's pretty good.
Are the civics aligned?
Yeah, the civics are aligned. The shop checks out. The home economics are all up to code.
Well, let's driver Zed to the point. Let's fire this bad boy up.
Hey, let me turn the crank here.
Oh, wow.
And then, Cole, you just have to, in post-production, you have to make a robot voice say what would happen if you came on a Mogwai.
Okie doke. I will do that, but I'm leaving your instruction in.
Okay.
What would happen if I came on a Mogwai?
Well,
that does
weird.
Sound like something we'd say.
It does. It's like a Markov chain kind of thing.
Yeah. Taking all the things that but coming on a Mogwai.
I mean, I guess it would depend on what time of day it was.
That's not how the rules work, Cole. Machine's going bonkers. It also detects inaccuracies in Gremlins lore.
Oh, no. Did you rely on a lazy popular assumption?
Oh, I had it set to the band. So then it's just a good time.
Okay.
We switch it back to the creature.
Okay.
And then it will pump out Gremlins 2, the new batch.
Okay, cool. I'm down.
Yeah.
This is pretty it depends game. Which version, but I'm down.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play games that you have suggested.
Yeah, and this week we are playing, as we said, Gremlins 2, the new batch, a subject that is near and dear to Gary's heart. Not that it is not near and dear to mine, but Gary, I would not feign to know as much about Gremlins as you do. It has been several years since I've seen either movie.
Yeah, my Grum lore is through the roof. I actually haven't seen either one in a while. It's been a couple of years, and my Gremlins lore is not 100% accurate. I have a lot of affection for this movie.
Yeah, both of them. Specifically.
Yes. It reminds me of like Aliens and Alien, right? Like, where they're both really good, they're just good for different reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can just kind of prefer one or the other, but like, yeah. I like Alien and Aliens both quite a bit.
Yeah. Like the first one kind of had a sense of being like a goofy little comedy, like with a little kid appeal. It's like E.T., but you know, if it went to hell.
Yeah. Their parts are scary though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a horror movie. Like it is a kid friendly horror movie in a lot of ways.
Gremlins 2 though is just like, what if we just like pump this out and made this more of a cartoon?
Yeah, literally a cartoon. Like, let's get Chuck Jones in.
Yeah, yeah. And it is a wonderful movie. It's very funny. It's very audacious and weird.
Yeah.
Mandatory viewing. Like, if you haven't seen, especially if you haven't seen it since you're a kid, because I can imagine watching this as a kid and being like, oh, you know, I don't really get that. You know, I don't really understand it.
I liked all the new kinds of gremlins. Like, you know, like the new batch was, as advertised, quite new.
The new kids on the batch. Yeah. But you maybe didn't realize how awesome and weird the idea of a new batch even is.
Yep. And you also didn't realize like the weird like meta narrative textual stuff that's happening with Hulk Hogan talking directly to you.
Yeah. And just the weird commentary on how this is a movie kind of like a movie that exists in the universe with the first movie in this weird kind of way, or the way that it, like, you know, the meta-textual stuff, the fourth wall breaking stuff is one thing. And then there's the weird ways. And like, one of the finest jokes, like, in movies is the thing with Phoebe Cates talking about her dad dying on different holidays, or like people dying on different holidays.
Yeah.
Because the first, so in Gremlins 1, Phoebe Cates talks about, her dad dressing up as Santa Claus and getting stuck in a chimney and dying. And it's like very sad. And then in Gremlins 2, and I haven't seen this in a while, so the details are escaping me, which is probably driving like the one person who likes this movie who's listening to this nuts. But she starts talking about, like, it's like, yeah, please don't talk about, you know, St. Patrick's Day. My uncle did. And like, she starts telling another story about, like, you know, this holiday tragedy gone wrong. And like, Billy is just kind of like, I don't have time for this right now. And it's so good. Like, it's this little bit of like flexible reality in the middle of this movie.
Yep.
Super, super good. God, yeah. Gremlins too.
So your quick question, how old was Phoebe Cates when this was made? Because that will inform how
old
creepy
enough,
I
know.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Like, one under, like, that's, I'm, this is, I don't get into celebrities sexually. Like, I don't,
right?
I don't, there's a certain lack of, like, and this is going to sound performative and it's not, but like, there's a certain amount of unrealness to celebrities that prevents my boner. You know, like, I don't look at, like, I'm just like, oh, that girl looks good, because she doesn't look real to me. Like, it's like, it doesn't look like somebody I would actually meet in real life. I don't care for a perfected kind of like platonic ideal of a person.
Mm-hmm.
But Phoebe Cates is a rare exception. It's like Phoebe Cates, Thora Birch circa Ghost World, and Kristen Schaal, and that's it.
Yeah,
like, those are like the three, those are the three muses that I have, the three furies. And Phoebe Cates is super cute.
Yeah.
And definitely cute enough in this, and also I think you see her boobs in a couple different movies.
You do, yeah. She was formative movie breasts for me, and I don't mean to make this boy time or whatever.
Yeah, well, let's go to the testosterone zone, man.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
been a while.
Yeah.
Crank it.
No, but Phoebe Cates were some of the first like film breasts that I saw. Like, it was basically Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and then like,
I haven't washed my hands after the first breast film I saw. It's still on there.
It was basically Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and then like Blade Runner, because somehow it came to my attention that both of those had boobs, and my stepdad just had, you know, bootleg VHSs of them. It was like, you know, furtively at like 1 a.m. on a Saturday, like, you know, in my room with like a towel put under the door to make sure no light came out.
Yeah.
And the volume all the way down, just like searching, I tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Half speed. And it is such a boy. I mean, we talked about that, the kind of grotesque ferocity of pubescent boys.
Yeah.
Sexuality, but like,
and I'm happy I don't really want anything thing that much anymore.
No, I mean, like,
the death of my desire has been pretty great.
Welcome to I don't know, Samsara, one of those things, or away from it. I don't know. But like, I can, you know, as somebody, like, as an occasional thirsty rando, I can, you know, thirst it up sometimes, but it isn't with that kind of overwhelming, like, crotch punching need.
Yeah.
You know, just like, down, stop. Why don't I control you? Why do you control me?
It's like you're trying to control Garth's robotic hand.
Exactly. Like, I had a dick transplant and they only had a dick from a serial killer.
Oh, no. No.
Dick must kill again. Like snake's hair.
I would have gone with idle hands, but okay.
Because a killing did.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that I'm a little bit more willing to go on like flights of fancy about specific, like, you know, man, Sherilyn Fenn circa Twin Peaks, Alison Brie.
Yeah.
I can get down. Like, those are,
yeah,
beautiful.
Alison Brie is a good example of somebody who I just think it's like, oh, this person, like, this just, I don't know, there's a weird otherness to her that I can't, and maybe I wouldn't have that if I met her.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm like, but, I'm not picturing, yeah, you know, if you met her, yeah, but like, I'm not picturing like talking with her about her scoliosis when she was a kid or something like that. Like,
yeah,
it's,
oh yeah. No, I'm reading between the lines, Cole. I got you.
Okay. Just, yeah. That is a different and separate thing.
You're going to see if, boy, I was just about to say something too gross to actually say.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. I started feeling bad about that. So let's
move on rapidly.
Let's move on. If you're curious, I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
If not, also like it's pretty gross. So.
I think I'm fine. But all of this was to say, like, you know, I think of her being really young in this movie because I was really young when I watched both of these. You know, she is an attractive woman.
what a consonant name that is as well.
Yeah,
like Phoebe Cates.
It almost feels fake. Is that like a stage name kind of thing?
It kind of sounds like it, but I believe that everything about her is true and real. So, I also had that Phoebe Cates thing, probably because of Gremlins.
I
don't think I saw Fast Times until I was like way older.
Phoebe Cates Klein is her last name. So
yeah, she's married to Kevin Klein.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah, so
National Treasure Kevin Klein, Calvin Fishoder.
Yeah.
Huh. Neat. Yep.
Yeah. I think she's in Blue Lagoon as well, which that is a formative sex movie for me as a kid.
Yeah.
Just like, man, can you imagine being trapped on this island? All you can do is jerk off, and Phoebe Cates sometimes has to accidentally watch you. Can you imagine?
Oh no.
Yeah, God.
What do you mean? Brooke Shields is there too? Okay.
She's in the second one.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot. Brooke Shields is in the first one, and they upgraded. Yeah.
Gary, we have not talked about the game at all.
Gremlins 2 is kind of rich to like. We don't have to. We will go back to the movie. I think.
Yeah, there's precedent for us talking about this stuff too. I mean, we've gotten like it's a little bit of a shorthand thing, but like the electricity gremlin, right? Just the fact that like it transfers through phone lines and shit.
Yes, and the taking on the properties of so like, and it comes through in the game. You know, that's part of the game. It's not entirely ungermane.
Right.
Gremlins 2 The New Batch is a Sunsoft overhead kind of platformer action game.
Yeah, specifically we're talking about the NES version right now, but there are several versions, and I think we can give a little bit of an overview on these.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Gremlins has a very high batting average for a movie adaptation to games.
Mm-hmm.
The Amiga and PC versions look pretty shitty. I couldn't get them to run archive.org. Are they? I totally believe it.
Yeah.
But the NES and Game Boy versions are all pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be up there with like Batman as far as adaptations. And those that have Sunsoft in common, as Sunsoft as that weird also ran, you know, Taito kind of level NES developer.
Yeah.
You know, where, cause like the NES Batman is like really good. Like we could watch out for fireballs that someday with something.
Yeah.
That's a really great game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we did Blaster Master. That's a really good game. Like they did a lot of really great NES games.
Yeah.
Including this, which is really good.
Yeah, I was surprised actually when I fired this up.
Yeah.
Like movie adaptation games that have very good kind of like still cinematics, that's not entirely new. Like we saw that with Rocketeer, you know, a handful of others that we've covered for the show, but like I was kind of caught off guard by the polish of that. But when it got down into the actual play, this is a really fast, smooth, attractive game.
It feels really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Phoebe Cates. Fast, smooth, attractive. It feels really good. It's overhead platforming in a way that works. I don't know exactly how they did it because that's very hard, but like I didn't feel eventually. I mean, the problem with this game is that it only has like four levels, so it ramps up difficulty too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But if there were no extenuating circumstances, like the parts that are pure platforming felt pretty great and worked really well.
Yeah. Like my biggest gripe about those is when you're jumping from moving platform to moving platform, they often don't come close enough to each other. And so it ends up being a little bit of a stretch to get between them.
I didn't have that problem. I only had a problem when I was dealing with obstacles or enemies at the same time, because you have a little bit of Mega Man-esque knockback.
Yeah.
The game tries to ameliorate for that because it doesn't have very many power-ups, but one of the power-ups it has is a balloon, which prevents you from... if you fall into a pit, you get to like a brief period of invincibility as you fly over everything.
Yeah.
You come out with this very cute little balloon.
Which is a real strategic thing to do, especially if there's like a really tough section coming up. And it's a very cheap item that you can get. Like this has shops where you can kind of like go into the guy's, you know, relics shop, the Needful Things store, and actually kind of like buy some of this stuff, and the items ramp up in price. Like it's a little bit of like a Spelunky Isaac kind of thing.
It's not so much, I mean, that's true, but the big economy to it is that you can only buy one thing.
Right.
And then that shop disappears. So for any given stage, you get to buy one thing,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of how it works, because money was not in short supply. I could see it eventually turning into it as I got further into the game and started avoiding enemies rather than fighting them.
Yeah.
But early on, like, I had enough money to buy everything I wanted. I just had to choose which thing I wanted, which is an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that doesn't happen very often in games. And there's not like a wide variety or anything. There's just that there's an extra life. There's a refill of your health, and there's getting an extra health token.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only things you can buy.
Yeah.
So, it's very simple.
Yeah. But it's enough to make it feel like it's more complex than it is. Especially when you buy that balloon and it feels useless, but then you fall down a pit.
Yeah.
That balloon has a number of uses behind it as well. I really dug that part of it. Like the fact that you were kind of like stocking up, and there's like variety in the enemies too. Like, that is an aspect where the game, you know, the movie itself kind of bled through into this and saying like, okay, this is basically a big goofy cartoon anyway. Let's take all these different things and make them into enemies.
Yeah. Yeah. You fight a lot of bugs and, you know, bats and stuff like that. Like, things that are gizmo sized,
mm-hmm.
Through that, until eventually you create the new batch. Through like something I'm sure we talked about on one of these shows before, but like, as a kid, I was very influenced by how painful it looks for Gizmo to give birth. That image of him on his stomach, like wagging his legs and screaming as these things polyp off his back.
Yeah.
Like, it's so scary.
Yeah, it is pretty upsetting. That was Large Marge level for me.
Yeah.
Like that particular scene.
It's really tough.
Man, stop motion animation is awful.
Stop it. it is really creepy. Like, it's genuinely like pretty bad looking. I mean, it looks cool, but it's creepy. Like, always looks like the Tool Sober video. No matter what. And we've talked about the blockheads.
Oh yeah.
Those malcontents.
those instigators roughing you up.
But yeah, so once you give birth to the new batch, that's when things ramp up a lot in difficulty,
mm-hmm.
and enemies start appearing that are actually gremlins, and they're actually based on the named gremlins.
Yeah.
From Gremlins 2.
Yeah.
So you end up with George and Lenny, which are based on the of Mice and Men character, who show up a lot.
Yeah.
And those guys are bad news. George, I think, is a pretty poorly balanced enemy in this game. The guy who smokes.
Yeah, yeah.
And shoots fire at you.
This guy from the cover. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Who's just grumpy. Like, that's his whole bit. But he's pretty rough, because he just kind of shoots fire will block your attacks.
Yeah.
And they put him on like a floating platform you need to get to the first time you encounter him.
Yeah, I didn't dig that too much.
Yeah, that's frustrating a little bit. And then like from there on out, it's harder. Like, I got past the first boss, I got to level 3-1 and this before I stopped. And I could have like kept going, but I didn't have everybody save states that I got further and all that jazz, but I just didn't. So got to the first boss. The boss is fine. It's a lot like a Fester's Quest or Blaster Master boss.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but the actual game, like moment to moment, kind of really reminded me a little bit of Zombies. Zombies of My Neighbors. I mean.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you just call it Zombies.
That's what my dad and I call it. Like, that's like, hey, do you want to play Zombies? Like, oh, let's. Yeah. How far did you get in Zombies this time? Like, that is what we called it. That was dumb. Sorry.
No, it's not dumb. Yeah, me and Brayden call Marvel Ultimate Alliance smashing boxes. I'm just like, do you want to smash boxes? So,
also good.
Yeah, it's essentially what you're doing. The it is a little bit like that that kind of control scheme and other things too, like the lead, like the camera lead you have and stuff like that, kind of feels similar.
Yeah.
To that, the amount it's zoomed in, like all those mm-hmm. things are pretty like tuned pretty tight in a way that like if they weren't, you'd know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd feel it if this was too zoomed, if this was zoomed in a little bit more,
yeah.
It would make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's zoomed out, you know, it'd be probably be fine if it was zoomed out a little bit more, but like the sprite actually looks pretty good.
It does. Like it's kind of like a Felix the Cat levels of like, oh, everything is in the right proportion to like both look good and be functional.
That's a Sunsoft game too, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The weird NES also runs. I'm not totally sure about that, but I can check.
I'm looking it up right now. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah.
That was Hudson.
Yeah. Oh, Hudson. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another, like, again, that Taito tier. everything under Konami and Capcom and Nintendo, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So you move on, you get different weapons that are to your scale, and you don't have any control over this. This just happens every couple of levels.
Yeah. Like, you start out with tomatoes, and then eventually get, like, what is it, like a magic wand or something like that?
it's a matchstick.
Ah, okay.
But it functions as the magic wand that Braxian has in Pokemon X. and then eventually you get paper clips, and then you turn that into a bow. Another part of that movie that's hilarious, which is like the movie. So the games always are like Gizmo's point of view. And the movie is mostly about Billy.
Yeah.
With just flashbacks to, or like cuts away to Gizmo being tortured. And it's pretty brutal. It happens a lot in that movie. Mm-hmm. And then he escapes, has like a training sequence, and like looks at himself seriously in the mirror and like puts on a headband. And
well,
like,
it's Rambo.
It's super Rambo, yeah. But it's very weird, you know, cute and funny to see this happen after he's been so damaged.
Yeah.
Like there's implied PTSD in Gremlins too. Like, I mean, it applied like textual PTSD in Gremlins too. Right. It's pretty amazing.
Where's my parade?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, spawned on the 4th of July. Yeah. I know, I always get wet on the 4th of July. The, but so the
why did you say that?
Cause, I don't know. Cause it's fun to fuck around on America's birthday.
Yeah. To go to the water park, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fuck around. Some pool noodles, if you know what I mean.
Gary, how was I wrong when I talked about the time of day?
Oh, because when they get wet, they spawn. It doesn't matter what time it is. Okay. You don't feed them after midnight.
Okay.
So the rules are no sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Sunlight kills them. They get wet. They, again, just another great thing about Gremlins 2 is because somebody like questions this too. They're like, oh, there's water in the air. And it's always after midnight somewhere. Which time zone do they use? Like somebody actually... Yep. Characters in the movie make fun of it. But yeah, if you get them wet, they spawn.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you feed them after midnight, they turn into the monsters.
Okay.
Which happens in the movie by them like finding a salad bar or something like that.
Mm.
It's really fantastic. Like that whole Clamp Tower thing is just really the symbol, which is that sea just crushing the earth.
Yep.
Like everything about that movie is really good. I need to watch that again like sooner than later.
Yeah. So that symbol just reminds me of how menacing the Sherwin-Williams logo is.
Oh, I love that too. Cover the earth.
Yep.
It is melting. It looks like Viserys getting molten gold poured on his head by Khal Drogo.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I just always knew, like even when I was little, like that's kind of fucked up, isn't it?
Golden crown for a golden world.
but continue. It has Rambo and fly PTSD.
Yeah, it is. I can't remember. Oh, that because of the weapons he gets in the actual movie, mm-hmm. he gets a little bow made of a paperclip and gets a flaming arrow. So the progression, other than the tomatoes, more or less follows.
Yeah,
in this,
the tomatoes seem to
feel a lot better too.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, once you, the upgrades are meaningful too. Like I got it, since I got up to 3-1, I got paperclips, and paperclips have unlimited range.
Oh, nice.
So like it is a big upgrade.
Yeah. Did the tomatoes have any basis? I forget if the tomatoes have any basis in the movies.
I don't think so.
Because they're sold as like genetically modified or something. So I could believe that, but
yeah. He also fights tomatoes that are like as big as him.
Hmm.
So the little things he throws, I don't know what those are, but like in the first level, tomatoes pop out in the game, not in the movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why the tomatoes are fighting them, is because they're throwing their kids.
That's probably true. They can catch them. Give one chance. It's like the Untouchables. Just toss them down the stairs.
Yeah. Well, you know, so it's the baby ones, which you throw. They're the adult ones that, you know, come after you for it. They're the old ones that are kind of rotten, that rate movies.
Heirlooms. Yeah. Yeah. It's like we just made a Pixar movie about like the culture of tomatoes.
Yeah. and just the name of that movie, Gary, you say tomato.
Oh, pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you get those upgrades. Like even going up to the matchstick is pretty good, because you don't have like that little arc on the stuff. Like mm-hmm. usually the top down kind of stuff, it's kind of hard to gauge, and just the ways that they make you progress make the early part of that curve not feel very good in a way that like that just doesn't happen. Like in Contra, like in a side scrolling game, you go from having a really good gun to having a gun that shoots the entire screen, whereas
having a great gun.
And here it's just not the case.
You kind of actually start out kind of disempowered.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a YouTube Super Bunny Hop video where he talks about shitty upgrade systems in modern Ubisoft Nightmare Collectathon games, and that's his whole point, is like that I think is pretty good, is that like in, you know, Watch Dogs, for example, do X of a thing and then your shotgun gets upgraded, or you do more vehicle damage, but mm-hmm. you already start out really competent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it, like the actual, the play has more to do with your hands than it does with your avatar. It's not an RPG.
Yeah.
It's just these kind of shitty RPG systems really tacked on.
Yeah.
To a game that has nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. It's about the Delta. So you,
yeah, exactly. Just so you can fill out a checklist of upgrades.
Yeah.
You know, which is like, I agree with that sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even that happens like four upgrade paths in and Batman games, like as those new Batman games, which I played all of to completion. I really like, you know, after I get done with a couple upgrades, I start feeling like, I guess I'll do this thing that, you know, lets my combo meter go up by one, you know, like I always feel like I'm just kind of running through the motions.
That's the perennial issue. Like, we want new verbs, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm terrible at like WoW and Diablo, because when I'm going up the tech tree, I'm always going to go for like even the thing that just gives me a new color of ball to throw.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to the thing that's like, oh, 2.9% boost.
I'm never going to take a 3% boost.
I see the decimal point on that. I see 2.9 and I'm like, oh, they just like balance this to oblivion because they have to get down to the decimal point on the percentages.
Yeah, it's just unsatisfying, you know. And that's a whole other subject. That's like a watch out for fireballs topic.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do a game where that has an unsatisfying curve at some point, and we'll talk about unsatisfying upgrade curves.
Yeah.
Gremlins 2. So that, I mean, that's really the game. The first boss is just Stripe. It's before he turns into his spider form or anything. and you fight the regular gremlins. There's some extra kind of peripheral stuff about this that's not just the movie. I mean, the movie is good enough on its own. Because the girl gremlin definitely gives that guy a blowjob in that movie, and then they get married. Like, the gremlins start forcing him to get married, and that's the...
He had to make an honest mogwai out of her.
Yeah, like, that's some real... please, Cole, they're not mogwais once they turn. That's some real, like, you know, being kind of forced into a sexual encounter by like a alien or monster species and then having to like marry into their culture. It's super Lovecrafty. That's like a specific terror of mine that, like, right, wrong, or whatever, you know, if you want to use as a metaphor for anything. I don't think the gremlins are a metaphor for a different race, but if you want to use that metaphor for something, that creeps me out pretty good. I don't want like to have to be like, okay, you know, in order to save humanity, you have to take this like sixth level Innsmouth bride, make love to her, and then we're going to marry you in this alien ceremony, and you're going to live the rest of your days under the sea. You know,
it's going to be fine because you'll live forever. By the rest of the days, I mean all the days.
Yeah. Creeps me out.
Gary, this is the dark gift, just in a different form.
I guess that's true. It's like it's like the taupe gift. It's a different variation.
Taupe gift. sure is a mauve.
The lady gremlin doesn't have like lips so much as just fangs too. So I've thought about that blowjob before, and it doesn't.
I mean, it's probably mostly tongue. Like, you're not gonna achieve a seal with that maw, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of like ball cradling and like just kind of general spitty hand jobs.
You mean claw jobs?
Yes, spitty claw jobs.
Oh, spitty claw jobs is the worst blues man.
Hello.
Go away, spitty.
Man, Cole, I've been talking to a girl on the internet.
Uh-oh.
And she was telling me about the East Coast, and there's a restaurant called the Rusty Scupper. That sounds like spitty claw job. Like, spitty claw job and Rusty Scupper go and solve ocean crimes in a fan boat.
This is probably a super achievable goal. I want to drive a fan boat before I die.
Oh, you could definitely do that.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they just have tours, like places where you legitimately can just do it.
Yeah. Oh wow, the Rusty Scupper kind of looks like a classy joint.
Yeah, for being called the Rusty Scupper.
Yeah. Oh, that's
like scup is a verb, man. Yeah. No. I
mean, yeah, that's a that is a weighty gerund. That's a thing though, right? Like, seafood joints, especially over like, I mean, the places that I've been, like, you know, around like Maryland and Virginia kind of stuff, like they'll have names like, the docks, but then it'll be like nicer than you expect because they know they can charge a whole bunch of money for it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I've put this on Twitter. I'm sure that you, I don't know if you saw it, but in the airport, like the kind of the places that they have, the seafood restaurant, that's the chain seafood restaurant in Boston, is called Legal Seafoods.
Oh, That puts all of my questions to rest.
Yeah, as long as it's above board, I'll eat this shrimp. Like, yeah, I don't want to eat this narwhal testicle that like has been endangered in 5 countries. But yeah, like,
what's the maritime equivalent of bushmeat? Is it, I mean, dolphin? Like, it would have to be dolphin, right?
How about just the top half of a mermaid? No, I'll take your word for it. Like legal seafoods, what the fuck? It's so weird. The East Coast is just like this whole other place.
Yeah. it's the same country, dog.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it though.
Yeah, because exactly what I want to do before I get into a fart tube full of long pig is cram my gullet full of fried scallops.
Yeah, yeah, you need to eat a bunch of shady mussels.
You mean the pianist for what's his name?
Sorry. Yeah, for Rusty Scupper and Spitty Clawjob.
Yep.
The worst blues trio that's ever been. The crime solving blues trio.
Oh, their hit single under the boardwalk.
Yeah. No, really under it.
Yeah. I forget what even led us to that. The blowjob,
I think this is the last thing I wanted to say about the Gremlins 2 movie was that there's a wedding and a blowjob at the end.
Of course. So
man, that plays into the last episode too, because that gremlin didn't ask to be changed into a lady gremlin, but immediately gets lady gremlin clothes and is into it.
Yeah,
she got gender bended extreme DNA twisted.
Oh, you mean GBnated or GBDnated? Yeah,
she got GBDnated. The whole movie is about Christopher. What's his head?
Christopher Plummer.
The evil guy from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, Christopher Lee. Christopher, yeah, there we go. Yeah,
Christopher Lee is the evil scientist.
Scaramanga. He has a third nipple. Yeah.
Yeah.
God rest his satanic soul.
One nipple for every blues man.
He was a true fan. He really was.
Yep. The implant.
There are a couple of other versions of this, like we alluded to. The one, so this was another Sam Bear joint. Sam just kind of recommended both of these, said, hey, go hog wild. Thought I'd give you guys an example of a good license game from a good property for Christmas. I don't know which Christmas this was. Recommended the NES one also the DOS one. Says the DOS one is about Billy's adventure through the DOS asset factory.
That's definitely what it looks like from the YouTubes I've seen.
Yeah, well, are you looking at the side scrolling one or the top down one?
I've looked at both.
Yeah, because
the top down one has an amazing walk cycle.
It really does. It has this weird little 5 degrees skewed chips challenge kind of perspective to it.
Yeah.
And my dumb move was I walked into the elevator, because again, you're in the office building, and I was like, okay, select a floor. And I was like, oh, let's go to floor 23. So beep, 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 thinking, okay, I would just open up. No, you have to wait for the elevator to go all the way up to floor 23.
It's an immersive sim.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be on your Kodak talking to Pritchard during that part.
Yep. Yeah. But I couldn't figure out how to fire my gun. Does Billy have a gun in the movies?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he ever gets a gun.
No. but yeah, that's pretty bad. And that the side scrolling one on DOS looked a little bit better. The DOS Amiga one looked fine. Not as good as the NES one. The Game Boy game is actually really good.
It's really good. Like, the one issue with it is you have no range for your basic melee attack.
Right.
But it's a really fun platformer.
Yeah. With cool little pickups and stuff.
It's really good. Like, Gremlins 2 is good in all ways. There's definitely some GameFAQs gold going on.
Oh boy.
Here. So before we get to the prime GameFAQs gold.
Okay.
I want to talk about this one, again, I always feel like maybe I'm making fun of somebody who's, English is not their first language. I don't mean to, but there's a real, Seraph Zero did a real Steve Brule-esque, GameFAQs fact of this. Gremlins is one of my favorite movies. I like the second Gremlins more than the first, but only because it's comedic. They did a very go adaptation of the movie to game. Since the tragedy of Billy Pelzer hometown, like name of Billy Pelzer, and then just kind of goes on. Like that's the entire thing's written that way. So if you want to read some kind of bad prose about Gremlins too.
Yeah. Like that whole fact is barely discernible. Actually,
yes, it is pretty hard. There's only two, and this is the one that's rated less. So,
yeah, it's like the broken syntax actually makes the order of operations kind of difficult to discern.
Yeah, it's actually hard to read.
Yeah,
which is not the case. The reviews of this are almost all great. Like they're all really positive too, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Which it should be. One person also has the tautology of, if more people knew about this game, it wouldn't be so unappreciated. You're thinking about, yeah.
I mean, it really makes you think.
Yeah, it would be less unknown if more people knew about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, so one could presume that if I went out into Oakley Square with a megaphone and said there is a Gremlins 2 video game, more people would be aware of it. I can't. Yes. I cannot tell you they would be anything but indifferent. I think they would hate me. But I think that they would, I don't think they would appreciate it.
Yeah. I understand the A B disagreement that's going on between that sentence. It's just a really awkward phrasing.
Oh, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game is the king of graphics. It needs some improvement throughout the game.
It's a, I mean,
thanks, even the game. Thanks, Chung Kai Simons.
Yeah. It's, man. It's a very good, like both the Game Boy and the NES versions are, they look really good.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got that going for them at the very least.
Chunky Simmons review has a whole section for movie like clips. I think it's 10 out of 10.
I don't get it.
Replayability? Not in a while. Okay, buddy.
I kind of dig that. I like that as an answer. For
not in a while. Like, I'm just going to answer this question like a question.
Yep.
But anyway, let's get to the prime GameFAQs Gold. So this episode is not 1,000 years long.
Yeah. So did what I usually do. Went to GameFAQs and did a search for us. Like, oh, this game actually had a bunch of different versions. Like, as we've discussed, it was a wide licensing agreement that they got. So I just kind of opened up all the tabs and I found one, the Amiga board, which is just incredibly, incredibly active. Or is it? No, it's not the Amiga. Sorry, I think confused.
It is the Amiga version.
So the Commodore 64 one is more active than you would think, but the Amiga one has like three pages, which in a game of this vintage, that doesn't happen. Usually it's like three, you know, like somebody asking like, hey, why don't more people like this? It's somebody saying, hey, I claim this board. And then another person saying, hey, I claim this board.
Yeah, that's what you expect.
Right. What you don't expect is to... kind of like you were playing like Starflight or Star Control, find a colony ship that crashed from another forum where the mods turned against an entire part of their community and they decide to set up shop in the Gremlins 2 board for Amiga on GameFAQs.
This is real argument, like Exhibit A in the case for a GameFAQs documentary. That we've talked about a lot, like how we'd really want, you know, like if I knew more about making films and stuff and thought that it wouldn't be intolerable to interview these people, like it'd be the kind of thing I would love to have be the first duck feed film, you know, eggs, a GameFAQs documentary. consider the egg.
So these are people from a forum. It's like MKX forum or something like that from the MKX boards, rather.
Mortal Kombat 10.
Yes, Mortal Kombat 10. And everybody's SIG kind of just outlines who they were basically in their previous life. And everything seems to be kind of arranged cult-like around the singular figure of Cassie Cage.
Cassie Cage's sweet, sweet back badass toy topic.
Sharing broken Imgur links of her toys.
Yeah, Cassie Cage is the leader of this group, is the piggy.
Right. Or
not the piggy, the one who didn't get abused.
You're right.
Yeah.
And so like she jumps and, you know, people say how high. Like, she will just come on and say, like, oh, I'm feeling such and such. And everybody just kind of sucks up to her. It's kind of weird.
Do you think this is just a classic internet, like, she's a girl and that's what's going on?
I mean, that's like, that's my cynical read on it.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're like, oh, this is really, you know, this is really Cassie. There's also a lot of, you know, I didn't realize the GameFAQs had this kind of moderation thing where they could be like, the moderators can't kick them out, but they can kind of feud like this. Like, don't the GameFAQs moderators just have control over this? So if people are shitty.
So the thing that I get, and so I think that what's happening here, when we see all these threads that are talking about, oh, the moderator is like, everything is about this Roba person. I don't know who it is. I think that they're actually like, it's a little bit like SASS or whatever. It's like people who got kicked off of one board, are in another board. I think when they're talking about the mods, they're actually talking about like the misgivings and misbehavior of the mods over on these other forums where they left from and decided to build this little like fucking hidden garden community.
Well, here's the thing though, is so I found one of these Imgur links, it's like, I found proof of a mod being, hypocritical. Mm-hmm. And the image it shows is from a GameFAQs board.
Oh, wow.
So these are not refugees from a different, like from like another forum. These are refugees from, I think, Mortal Kombat 10 GameFAQs board.
Wow. So, forum.
So that's the confusing part to me, but this is certainly this, links to a moderator exposed by Lord of the Beef Dip. The moderator.
Oh, man. Who does he write for? Is it Washington Post? They've done a lot of very good work this election cycle.
Lord of Beef Dip from the Hateful Bait. Yeah. And they're arguing, and it's about politics, of course.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I think that this happened recently because it's so bore, the GameFAQs boards for politics, like, God, yeah. Kill me. Will fascism ever return was the subject. James Owens Maz says, that would be kind of neat, wouldn't it? I'm getting tired of the left. Lord of Beef Dip, the moderator, says, fuck off. And then the Hateful Bait says, after Obama leaves, not for at least 4 years after Trump is sworn in as president. So that's the proof of them being hypocritical. What I think happened was that in the politics board or in the Mortal Kombat 10 board,
somebody is stealing ideas.
Well, because there's also like somebody's like, does anybody want to talk about King of Fighters? Like, there is, like, this is definitely refugees from like some kind of fighting game community. Somebody was, you know, got up in the air about Trump or something, and they decided to hide out in the Gremlins 2, the New Batch forum, and somehow remained under the radar. Moderator. So, Lord of Beef Dip, if you're listening, go get these sons of bitches. Regulators got a ride, man.
So here's the thing about all this shitty message board forum. I can't decide. I can't figure out who's on what side. I can't tell if they're yet like angry about this Trump supporter who happens to moderate the board that they left from. And they felt like,
No. The Trump supporter didn't moderate the board. The Trump supporter said, fuck off, to the person who was saying they were sick of the left.
Okay.
So I think that the moderators are actually on the side of angels here.
Okay.
I don't know that to be true, though. Like, I haven't done the research. Yeah. I haven't seen the documentary because I haven't made it. But that's what it seems like from the context clues of that Imgur link. Yeah. And that is really high evidence in something with these kind of stakes.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you submit an Imgur link as evidence in a court case, it immediately gets like rid of certiorari and it goes up to Supreme Court, like just like that. Snap your fingers. I was about to say Scalia sees it, but he's in hell. So,
somebody says, who's everyone's favorite drag queen? And queen is spelled K-W-E-E-N. So I don't know what that means exactly. Right. But the person who answers says, mine's Alaska Thunderfuck, which like Alaska Thunderfuck is a good name for like anything. I'm way into an Alaska Thunderfuck, dude.
Incognito window.
Yeah. I would like to see Alaska Thunderfuck. Create upon a thunderfuck.
Let's see here. Yeah, no, that is I don't know what they identify as, but it is a feminine looking person, kind of with a weird little doll like goth kind of look to them.
Yeah, I'm not so into the gigantic goth hair or these gigantic nails. Jesus Christ.
Or the fact that they have anus written over their mouth.
Whoa. Thunderfuck is adult, Cole.
What's that?
I said Alaska Thunderfuck is adult.
But whoever said that seems to know what they're talking about based on what I'm seeing right here.
I'll trust them.
Yeah.
But anywho, so that's a weird, if you want to do some archaeology for us, like that's a weird place you can go.
And the baffling thing is, nothing here has anything to do with Mortal Kombat.
No, it's, and the King of Fighters thing is tangentially related.
Right.
This Avalon 64, who's also the person with the drag queen thing, which is like, man, can we talk about King of Fighters? And I got the sense, you know, before the drag queen thing that like, this is a power struggle between Avalon 64 and Cassie Cage. Like one of them wants to stick to games. The other one wants to expose the mods and talk about toys and shit.
Yeah.
So man, Cassie Cage, fuck you, depression. That face.
Archer. Avalon,
what's wrong? You okay? Is everything all right? Like everyone's really supportive on this community.
Yeah. Which in and of itself, but yeah, just like, yes, Archer season 6 on Netflix. And then an asterisk schoolgirl squee. Like it is very much like a style of writing that you see. And like, I kind of just associate that with a certain kind of thing. I don't know.
100%. It's very, so good. Yeah. Definitely a good find.
Yeah.
Cole found that, not myself. So good job.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I would like to say that I will look into it, but it is actually incredibly banal and boring if you get down to the details, aside from the red line Imgur links, you know, pointing out hypocrisy of the mods, which that feels like everything about Gremlins too.
I think we covered it. I need to watch the movie again pretty soon.
Because
I like it, and it's I like to watch those movies around Christmas, so maybe I'll save it for Christmas.
They are Christmas movies.
Surprising.
I get a little bit less up in arms about people saying like, oh, my favorite Christmas movie is Gremlins than I do when somebody says, oh, it's Die Hard.
I don't go in for that. If somebody says their favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard, they're not stunt saying it.
Yeah.
Like if they're not like, hey guys, everyone go around the table and say your favorite Christmas movie, I'll start, you know.
Yeah.
And then if they're just not doing it to be performative, it doesn't bother me that much if it actually is.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't, you know, but I'm saying this as somebody who's very like lukewarm about Christmas in general. Like I'm sympathetic to people who don't have a lot of affection for that holiday.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Especially for something like, oh, Miracle on 34th Street. That belies a different set of values than I have, but okay.
Yeah.
Man. I would have gone like Elf or something, but okay.
Yeah. Even that, like I'm pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I generally am kind of annoyed by Christmas iconography, but we'll get to it.
Well, I'll dig through the list and we'll find a good Christmas theme game to cover.
Yeah, I'm into it. All right, dude. I think I'm what to say about Gremlins 2. Who suggested this? Sam, you said.
Yeah, this is Sam. So thank you very much, Sam. We appreciate it.
Yeah. If you would like to suggest a game or see, I mean, that, you know, you can still suggest games. That's not changing.
Nope.
You can go to duckfeed.tv/abjectsuffering or abjectsuffering.com.
Yes, abjectsuffering.com now.
Yep. Excellent. Yeah, go to abjectsuffering.com.
Mm-hmm. Both of them will take you to the same place. But go to the About page on that page, and there will be a form that's kind of embedded in there, and that is the preferred way to get stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Support us on Patreon, duckfeed.tv/Patreon. We've alluded to some changes that are happening with that. We're very excited.
Patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
I should probably just set up a redirect so it always works. Guess what I'm doing right now.
tv.patreon/duck.com.
PattyTV.feedducks.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a way to get an extra episode of this show per month and also participate in our monthly polls to determine the subject of that. Well, I mean, the ostensible subject of that monthly episode, let's be honest.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Indeed. And then ratings and reviews are always appreciated. Really do thank you for that.
Yeah.
I guess until next time, who's Gremlin 2 Dog?
There we go.